Untethered and Upside Down. Or is it?
Hello and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for November 19th, 2018. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
Thank you, Janine Fadich.
You're welcome. It's November 19th already. This week is Thanksgiving. I can't believe it.
I know, it's crazy.
Everything's going fast.
It makes no damn sense.
No, it doesn't, actually. Very strange.
It's all untethered and upside down.
Woo!
Even, maybe. What's the point?
Is there one, or is it pointless?
Exactly. We're obviously talking about Prickly City in this week's edition. Kind of went the philosophical route just because politics, we've kind of had our fill for a while. So decided to address issues like nothingness and existence.
But it still all comes to politics.
Does it?
With your commentary, except for this one. Here we go. You just said, what's the point? And Michael writes, in spite of art, yours, imitating this frequently prickly political life, I enjoy your Prickly City work a great deal. Today's strip about pointlessness was good, fun, and reminded me of Harry Nilsson's The Point from 1971. It would be fun to have your characters meet Oblio. Very best wishes and happy Thanksgiving as well.
Do you know those references? Because I'm not.
I looked it up.
Okay.
Because I did not. I'm going to have to actually listen to it, but I didn't have time for that. But The Point was a concept album by Harry Nilsson, and it was a fable that tells a story about a boy named Oblio, who is the only round-headed person in the Pointed Village.
Oh, gosh, I remember that.
When I looked at the picture, it looked very familiar. And where by law, everyone and everything must have a point. So he does something that ends up banished to the pointless forest, where he learns and sees that everyone has a point, even though it might not be readily displayed.
So what's the point?
Yeah, that's it. Everybody has a point, but they're all different.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I remember that story. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was made into a film.
Maybe that's what I'm remembering.
And it was narrated by several people. Dustin Hoffman did one. Ringo Starr did another. Alan Thicke did one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so.
Well, thank you, Michael. I'm going to have to check that out again. I had totally and absolutely and thoroughly forgotten that. So, and, you know, the other... And to be honest, a lot of this was inspired by the show The Good Place, because they're having this discussion. What makes a good life? What makes a bad life? What's our existence all about? What's the balance? Where is it? And so it raises some interesting questions. I think it's a challenging show in many ways. So, So thanks for bringing that up. Obviously, they were inspired by that, too. Maybe they forgot it also.
Maybe.
And we also talked about Calvin.
Everybody bravoed that.
Oh, good.
Everyone
good.
Says they missed Calvin and they liked seeing him again.
Yeah, he was fun. Just because he is based, my understanding is, on Calvin and Hobbes, the religious philosophers and theologians. And Calvin felt that we were all preordained and that we had predestination. And so, which always seemed like a weird kind of.
It does. Yeah, it seems like, why bother then?
Yeah.
But then I guess you're destined not to bother.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That you're, you know, if you're going to live a holy life, well, you were destined to do that anyway, and you're destined to go to heaven or destined to do all these other things.
And
so
that gives you an excuse for everything. Well, I was destined to do that.
Yeah,
sorry.
I was predestined to be a jerk or to steal those tortilla chips. I don't know why I went there.
Well, you know, tortilla chips are good, so.
They are. But I never steal them.
You have to steal them. They usually give them to you.
They do. You just show up at the restaurant.
Yeah. Usually a nice endless supply that you have to be careful of not. Keep saying, yes, I'll have more.
So is everything untethered? I don't know. It feels like it.
Oh, Z51 said, I do not remember when things were ever tethered. Things are meant to have pros and cons, without which you live in a dictatorship.
That's true. I think that's a political thing. But I'm also thinking of attitudes. I think there was a prevailing attitude. It may not have been, you know, entirely healthy. It may not be entirely inclusive. I'm not saying it was good or bad. I'm saying it existed. And so today, there doesn't seem to be a standard moral code. There doesn't seem to be a standard rule of manners, even. So, and that's kind of what I was alluding to, more than just the political aspect. Listen, there's always been back and forth. My good Lord. I mean, everyone says things can't get worse. I mean, I just want to say people. It got so bad we shot at each other, okay? So it can get much worse.
And it was much worse.
It just seems like as a culture, we've lost a lot of what we base our culture on. And that some of that is very good things, like inclusiveness, like faith in democracy, like letting everybody vote. Those types of principles are important and they're sound and they should be adhered to, but they're not adhered to by everyone now. So that's where that strip came from. And so, yeah, is there a political element to it? Of course, it's a political strip. But it was also a broader comment on how our social morals and the social contracts seem to not apply. And that's kind of a sad thing, because then you don't know what, if you don't have any rules, then there's none to follow and there's none to break. Structure's a good thing.
Yeah, can be. So also you mentioned
can be
the upside down. Well, it can also not be. It depends.
Yeah, yes, of course.
You mentioned the upside down.
Yes.
Basically, most of the comments were on cable. On, I hate cable, or cable costs too much, or how I get around cable.
I agree with all that. We're looking for a way to not to we live in a building here in Chicago where we get free cable. It comes with the rent. It comes with the, so you just plug a thing and we get very, 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 very basic cable. But, you know, if I was paying that, I wouldn't. Would you?
It depends on how much it was. If it was reasonable at our building.
What's reasonable?
At our building, they did something, they did a deal, so it is actually a reasonable price.
Well, we're not paying it though, are we?
Well, in our rent.
Yeah.
That's part of the rent.
Right.
So, yeah, but even if you paid it, it would be actually a reasonable price.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But mostly it's not. Generally, anytime we've had to pay it ourselves, it has not been reasonable because they've not made that kind of contract.
And I can't tell you how many times I get sneered at because we don't have HBO.
I know.
So we don't watch Game of Thrones or any of the other offerings from HBO. And people just like look at me like, my God, what kind of Luddite are you? What?
Right.
Do you live in a hut?
Winslow said to Carmen. But this was the interesting comment of all the other comments, which it was Leslie Piper once said, ah, yes, let's hire a few generations of investigative engineers to spot more commoditizable human interactions. All their juice must be sucked immediately to Stantis' puppet masters, about 1% of the population everywhere. What does that even mean?
Wow, who said that?
Leslie Piper 1 and K8ZHD said, what the heck are you talking about? commoditizable human interactions? How about we just enjoy a comic? And I'm wondering, what does that mean, and who are your puppet masters?
I can't tell you.
1% of the population everywhere, so I guess rich people are your CEOs and the wealthy are your puppet masters?
I guess.
It would be nice if they were paying you to be a puppet.
I don't know. I work for a corporation. WGN is part of a corporation.
And I'm not really sure where that strip brought this on, but hey, makes it interesting.
For those of you who may not have read the strip, she talks about, he's asking her, he says, this is like being in the Upside Down in Stranger Things. And if you've watched the show, which is on Netflix, it's two seasons of it. It's a lot of fun. Janine and I watched it and we loved it. And we binge watched it and it was a blast. But it's a scary thing. And there's a place called the Upside Down, which is a very scary place for those. That's where that reference comes from. But you have to have Netflix in order to watch it. Or let me put it another way. You have to be in a family where one family member actually has Netflix and you have their password. So actually that would be kind of
That's
funny.
That's not us.
No, absolutely not us. No. No. Absolutely. So I guess maybe he or she's referencing,
I don't know,
the cable companies or Netflix, that one or the other, you have to make a choice, or you choose to give all of these corporations your money. It's the only thing I can figure maybe they're alluding to. I'm trying to just, you know, trying to give some credence to what they have to say.
Nice. It was very interesting. You also did one where you mentioned the stars.
Yes.
And a lot of people, well,
I mentioned that they're billions of light years away. And so by the time their light comes to us, many of them may be dead already. They may already have burnt out.
Well, this was kind of nice, actually. Kyle of Law Clash was criticizing your science, saying they're not billions of miles away. And he and Robin Hood went back and forth a bit, arguing about things. And here's the nice thing is Robin Hood said in the middle of this argument they were having, he goes, that's fair enough. I said something unfair and unkind, and you returned in kind. I'm sorry. Now let's end this. And Kyle said, indeed, and agreed. Oh. So it was kind of nice that there was some, a little nice
Ish
thing. Well, they were kind of not nice, and then they realized it and said, hey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have reacted that way. I'm sorry. And they said, okay, apology accepted. Let's move on.
Okay, I want to back up and say, what was the objection to the strip?
Oh, that you said that it was billions of
Did I say miles? Oh, light years.
And it like, should be like not quite as many light years.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I was rounding up. So is that it?
No, we actually, you did the dinosaur and the aliens.
Oh, I really thought that came together really well. I was so happy with that. For those of you who don't see it on Sunday, Prickly Seed, I did a series where Winslow sort of stumbles onto a den or an environment full of dinosaurs that they actually had not died off from the asteroid or the comet hitting the planet. They actually went into hiding because they saw these clever little apes coming out of the trees and got scared. And so they're effectively hiding from human beings. And they're picked up by their friend Opie, who is an alien, who's a semi-recurring character in the strip. And at long last, he realized that it all comes together that they're the ones who are colluding to meddle in the American elections.
And why?
Because if we're at each other's throats, we won't be meddling with them.
Which Z51 disagrees. He says, no, we are feisty. We multitask.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, probably. Yeah, we can hate more than one thing at one time.
Yes, we can.
And fear a lot of things, apparently, as the current political environment shows.
So we actually got an email from Clint, who has read your strip intermittently over the years. And he had not liked one of your strips years ago. I can't remember which one he mentioned it, but you wrote back and he just said he thought you were kind of like not presenting the best of conservatism. But he said, lately, I've noticed that you've had a change of tone. Since Trump was elected, the skunk caught my attention, an appropriate, not-so-subtle artistic touch. The alien and T-Rex strip today was sobering as well, not the usual funny strip. My question, are you going to continue satirizing the right or Trump and their surrogates? As you can surmise, I'm not a conservative, also not a liberal Democrat. However, with the current insanity that we've elected with this administration, I'm definitely not supporting Republicans anymore, except that I voted for our Republican governor who's doing a pretty good job. Anyway, I'm now paying more attention to your work and hoping that you keep up the challenge.
And who's this?
Clint.
Okay. Hey, Clint, thank you so much for writing. And Trump changed the landscape for a lot of us. And I guess, moderate-ish Republicans, of which I consider myself one. And it's hard to look at and embrace what's happening in the Republican Party today for me. And I sound like a traitor, maybe. I certainly sound like a rhino. Because a Republican in name only, because I can't embrace this. I can't endorse this. And then you see the candidates that win who have run as Trump-like candidates. And I predicted this, that the tone and tenor of this candidate was going to, if it was successful, was going to be mimicked because that's what politicians do. It has been. Many of the candidates who did try to mimic him and lost, but some of them have won. Just today or over the weekend in Florida, the Senate race, and Governor Scott, who I think is a nut, has won. And over Senator Nelson, who I don't have any opinion on, quite frankly. But when those types of people ascend to power, it corrodes the political system, and the system that I think at its best can rise to the level of poetry and be something that is marvelous to behold. It's rare, but it can happen, and it does happen. It can happen, and my hope is it will happen again. But in the meantime, I'm going to seem like I'm anti-conservative. I'm not. I just happen to believe in free markets and free minds. I have a libertarian streak in me that's pretty broad. And so, this whole administration flies in the face of those notions. I hope that answers your question. Should I add anything else?
No, that sounds good, but I would like to add that I don't recall the strip that he was offended by, but you have never been the type of Republican who completely spouts the party line. You've often, very often, disagreed with things that were done and said even well before Trump.
Yeah, I was, in fact, with Bush, and especially with the Patriot Act and assaults on our civil liberties, I was absolutely and adamantly opposed to the George W. Bush administration. I try to be just a contrarian. That's what it says. That's how I'm described on my, Twitter handle. That's accurate. I just don't. Power corrupts. Power can be harmful. Power wielded without respect can be a dangerous and awful thing for most people and bad for a country. So that's where I come down on that. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Okay. Hey, listen, thank you, Janine.
You're welcome.
And thank you to our producer, Brian Altimer. And thank you to WGN and WGN Plus for letting us use your equipment. If you want to stay in touch and follow the antics of Carmen and Winslow, please do so. Go to gocomics.com/prickly city. That's gocomics.com/prickly city. And go ahead and register. You can vote and you can leave comments. And if you leave a comment, we just might read it here on the podcast. And if you want to do like Clint did, you can email us directly. Please do so at pricklycity@gmail.com. That's pricklycity@gmail.com. And one last time, thank you so much for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. And until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.